Good morning. My name is Phil Swingle. My wife Elizabeth's over here, and my kids are out there kind of dispersed among you. I just want to start by saying, you know, we really care about you guys. We care about this church. It's super important to our lives, and we appreciate all of you guys who serve in the different ways you all serve and model for us and our kids. We consider it to be an awesome, great investment and love being able to minister here with you guys. And I see a lot of what we'll talk about today happening in our midst, which is encouraging. It should be for you guys. Also, before we jump in, also I just want to say, you know, obviously the theme of the Bible is God's love for his people, and that's you guys. So it's I have a chance to try to encourage you guys today, and I don't take it lightly how loved you guys are. And I'm humbled to have this opportunity, and I hope that you're encouraged by it. So if you brought your Bible with you today, we're gonna open it up to the book of 2 Timothy. It's in the New Testament, toward the end, 53rd book. If you're one of the Sunday schoolers, it's page 1155, if you have my exact Bible. Yeah. So we'll start just the characters in the book, obviously Paul. Getting toward the near the end of his life, and he's writing a personal letter to Timothy. He calls him his son, but of course he's not his real physical son. He considers him like a son in the faith. He's been ministering with him, you know, going around and training him, and he considers him like a son, and he's very important to him. And Paul is recognizing the need to pass on the faith after he's gone. So this letter is trying to encourage Timothy to realize and accept the challenge of what lies before him. And so that, before we kind of jump into the first verses of that, you might ask, you know, why pass it on? You know, why pass this on? So my question for myself and for you guys, you know, have you experienced satisfaction in the Lord? Right? I certainly have. In 1 Peter 2:3, it says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you've tasted it and you've experienced the peace, being in the Word, you know, reading the Word and learning from it, being in prayer, being with the Lord, if that has been encouraged to you, then you probably have a desire automatically to pass that on. It's too valuable of a thing to lose and to have it stop. So, and lastly, it's the kind of design that Jesus had to pass it on to individuals who will then pass it on as well. So it's important. It's awesome. We probably have this desire to want to pass it on. And that's just a couple of the reasons to pass it on. So I want to start with a quick little story of, I was trying to think back to some of the people who've encouraged me, and when I was a new father, just married, we had Eva, was just a baby. My father-in-law was a travel agent, and he got to go to New Zealand on a trip, and I got to go with him. We did all kinds of adventurous things together, bungee jumped and jet boated and rafted and all these things, and most dangerously of all, driving on the left side of the road. But at the end, he sent me a picture and wrote a little note on my first Father's Day when I was a father, and he, you know, he was basically just encouraging me, and kind of like what Paul is doing to Timothy, and just encouraging me to you know, love the Lord and seek his guidance, and the rest will work out. That was his lofty advice, with a picture of us flying through the air on some pendulum swing. So so let's take a look. Let's jump in. So we're going to start in chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2 today we're going to read. So Paul writes, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." All right. So I'd like to pray, and then we'll kind of jump in. Father, I thank you for the access you give us to the strength we need to live this life. And I also recognize that it's your grace, Lord, who does this in us and provides this for us and changes our heart and changes the hearts of others, Lord. It's your doing, and we thank you for that. And we ask that today we would we'd learn what we need to learn to stand and be strong and have the strength we need to serve you well. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're a note taker, I don't know if any of you guys take notes, but I'm going to mention like four sources of strength that I found as I was studying. And you could jot those down, but I also encourage you, if you think of one that I missed, jot it down too. And I'd love to hear it. I'm sure there's more than what I found. So I'd be curious to know what comes to your mind. So it begins, it says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So "you then, my child," is Paul writing to Timothy. And Paul and Timothy were at different stages of their faith, right? Paul is the one who is encouraging and training and teaching Timothy. And similarly, in Timothy's life, his mother was a godly lady too. It mentions her in chapter 1 as a Eunice. His mother had a sincere faith and raised Timothy in that faith. And before her, another generation before that, was mentioned by name his grandmother, Lois. So he's coming from this line of parents who are caring and trying to pass that faith on to Timothy. And that's true of my life too. I've had grandparents and parents who've raised me and taught me as I was in the early stages and got me started in learning. And the same for Elizabeth's life too. Her family raised her the same way, and that's kind of, we owe a lot of gratitude and debt to them for all the things they taught us and time they poured into us. So it's also part of our mission statement, right? You guys hear it each time, is helping people from all ages and all stages, right? So we come from different stages, obviously different ages, right? Children grow up and develop and learn different things in different orders. You know, it's kind of easy to see the development of a child physically, but we're also in different stages spiritually, right? And we're, you know, it's our opportunity to sort of to encourage and get under people and to help them to grow. So, we should have that desire, although it's not quite as obvious. It's not as easy to see as, like, you know, learning to walk or ride a bike or something. So one bit of encouragement before we go too much further is a couple of verses. In Philippians 6, I found it kind of talks about God's care for us and how he's not going to give up on us. He's going to help us progress through these stages. So in Philippians 1:6, it says this. It says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus," right? He will bring this to completion. We're in the process, but he's committed to us and he will see it through. And there's one other one that I would mention. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says this. Let's see, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Here it is. "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. From this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So he's working in us, and he's committed to us. So that's one easy yoke sort of concept that we can be assured of. It's gonna happen, right? We're in the process. So age. Paul's younger. I mean, not Paul's not younger. Timothy's younger. But spiritual development, I guess, is less obvious than physical development. So it might be hard to know who is the encourager and who is not. You know, a young person can encourage someone who's older than them if they're in sincere faith, praying for that person. If they've, you know, been learning the pure message of the word, they have an opportunity to teach. It's not strictly just older person teaching a younger person. I have a great example of this. This summer, I've had a chance, an opportunity to be with the young adults, and we go to their studies, and there was a young man named Seth who got to lead for 6 weeks, and he really poured his heart out and prayerfully taught and prepared and led, and it was encouraging to me from a guy half my age to see his sincere faith, his preparation, how he prayerfully went into it. It was encouraging to me. I mean, it really challenged some of my thinking even too. So That's a close example I have of that. And what's important, I think, to know is that it's God who's doing the work, the important work that we're trying to be part of. We're saved by grace. In Ephesians 3:16, I wanted to share this verse with you. It says this, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So, you know, it's really, you know, our effort and service, but then mixed with God's power and helping to bring this strength and to, by his grace, do these things he wants to accomplish. So I think that's pretty important to point out. Here's the first source. One source of strength that I uncovered was teaching. Okay, so some of my experience, I've had the chance to raise 3 children, and I was also a school teacher for about a little over 20 years. So I've had a lot of time in that teaching arena, and it's a lot of fun to me. Some people, you know, sometimes ask, you know, hey, do you miss anything about teaching? And one of the things I really miss is just sitting next to someone, like a kid who's trying to learn a concept, and just seeing the development happen, and then all of a sudden just light turns on and you're like, oh, I got it. I figured this out. It's a really fascinating thing to be a part of, and I really enjoy that. Like teaching the kids to ride a bike, and then they finally start going on their own. It's encouraging to me. It's strengthening to me to be a part of that process, even as the teacher. And I think there's a symbiotic thing happening when the person who's discipling and the person mentoring are getting together. It's strengthening both people at the same time. If it's done in love and you truly want this person to progress and understand the ways of the Lord, it's strengthening to you to, I would imagine, to see those lights turning on, those aha moments and understanding. So I've noticed that sometimes I'll be kind of tired going into a time of teaching, like junior high setting in a one night or something. I'll be kind of tired, but I've noticed that once I kind of get into it and start teaching, I'm fully energized. I'm full energy. And I just sometimes have wondered, like, where did that strength come from? How did that happen? I think that it's the Lord kind of providing his strength as we offer our service to help someone, to teach someone, to meet with them, to pray with them. Another source of strength is from God's word. We took the kids up to the rock and water, rafting and canyoneering, rock climbing for about a few days. Yeah, Judas back there raising his arm. He had a good time. And so we wanted to do like a sort of a thematic devotion while we were there with the kids. So each evening around the campfire, we each took a couple of the pieces of armor that are mentioned in Ephesians 6, the armor of God. And we taught the students who were there around the campfire about each piece, and we kind of related it to river gear, like the life jacket was the breast of righteousness, and the paddle was the sword of the Spirit, and the helmet and shoes, and it was a pretty fun thing to study. But I think that all three of us who studied, Tony, me, and Aaron, we got a lot out of the preparation in learning about these pieces. I mean, we've heard about them before, but in trying to understand them well enough to teach, we ourselves were strengthened, and I think this is one example, and the God's word is just a treasure trove of ways of gaining strength as we read it. But for instance, just this one example, all right, the belt of truth, right? Knowing that he's the way, the truth, the life, there is truth. It enables us to stand, right? It takes strength to stand, and that's something that he's given us. The breastplate of righteousness, right? The righteousness that he gives to us, his own righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the fact that we've been freed and welcomed in to participate in his kingdom, the shoes of peace, right? Understanding we're at peace with God. He's made a way for us to be at peace. The shield of faith. He's given us faith even to ward off flaming darts that would intend to take you out, right? he's given us these things that strengthen us and enable us to stand. So God's word, all throughout it, as you read it, you'll find sources of strength, and as you read it, you'll feel your strength increase. From the word itself, one scripture, 1 Peter, I'd like to share, chapter 2 and verses 2 and 4. I like this verse. It said, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious." So what stood out to me is just and coming to him, right? There's time in the word and prayer, but also just spending time with the Lord will increase your energy. He does that for us. You just come to him and just share your heart, welcome him in, share your life, what's going on with him. I think you'll come out of that with an energy that he'll give you. Also, you know, like after a church service or someplace, a time when you get to sing together, that's strengthening to me and probably to you guys as well, right? Being together and glorifying God together. Last, if you were here, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, and the 9 o'clock, I as Sunday school was over, we were bringing the kids in, and I got to, from the back, hear a testimony from Monet. I don't know if you guys met her yet. She's kind of a newer to our church here. And she got up and shared a testimony that I thought was a perfect example of strength we get from friends, from one another. They were friends living on the same street. One of the friends had a pretty sincere faith, and the other was in need of that. They really wanted to grow in their faith. And she came to her house and noticed around her house and kind of saw that she was a believer and got to talking about it. And they both had a need, right? One had a need and really wanted to be like kind of pouring into another and mentoring someone. And the other one, kind of at a different stage, was seeking that out, and that was just a great mix, and they're both really energized. You can tell they're excited, telling friends about it. They're I think that's brought them a lot of strength. I think when we serve one another, when someone needs a meal, someone needs a visit, needs help on their house, needs a vehicle or a ride somewhere, if you're a kid and you need a ride to get to a meeting you want to get to, when you write cards to one another, you pray for one another. I think we offer these services to one another, and then God adds to it. He adds to it his strength that really is by his grace, right? So I think it's great that we should recognize that, right? We are able to serve one another, help one another in so many ways, and in that we'll get strength, and the people who need strength, who also need help, will get strength too. So why not? Why would someone not seek this strength? Well, or what if we don't? What if we just decide, you know what, I'm not going to go after that strength? Well, a couple things I thought of. You might just decide to quit when things get hard. If you're not strong, like running a race, and you just run out of energy, you may just decide to quit. You may slowly just sort of get transformed into the ways of the world and ensnared in things that will rob you of that power. You might start to feel like you're just too tired, too busy, too busy to be a part of this ministering and passing on of the faith. You might just fall victim to like lies and deceptions, thinking like, oh, I'm too young to do that, or I'm not old enough to do that, or I don't know enough, or, you know, I think that Timothy in our letter may have had some of those feelings of inadequacy himself. Paul, in some of the things he writes, it sort of implies in this letter to Timothy that maybe Timothy struggled with some of these things too. In 1 Timothy 4:12, he writes, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, in your purity." But that despise you for your youth, maybe he felt like he was too young and not old enough to do this. Another time, Paul writes in verse 14, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So neglecting the gift, maybe that could be another thing we fall into, is just neglecting to use the gifts that we've been given, right? So if you're a note taker, what I would encourage you to do to kind of let this sink in a little bit, this concept of getting strength from the grace that's in Christ, what does that mean to you? And it, maybe if you don't write it down, just, you can just sort of think to yourself, like, where does this strength come from? And and maybe there's a couple you thought of that I didn't mention. Maybe you could jot that down. So I'd like to pray for us too. Lord, thank you for the grace you give us to give us strength. We need it, and you've given us this blessing of community and in which we can help one another and serve one another, and we know and we see your fingerprint in the strength that we get from you, Lord. So we ask that amongst us you would strengthen us again in your grace, that we would have strength to continue this work we're doing and going out and loving like Jesus and passing on the faith that you've given us. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. All right, I want to talk about now, I want to kind of transition into what do we do with this strength? I kind of saw these two verses as, right, so he's encouraging Timothy to be strengthened, and then the very next verse he gets into like what to do. So I'm gonna turn to Ezra 7:10. My son's name says this: for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Right, so we get strengthened. God gives us his strength, and then he has something that he intends for us to do with that. As we go on in 2 Timothy and we study the following verses, we'll see that he's kind of called Timothy to be like a soldier, right? He's got this work to do. The point is not to be a healthy, strong soldier who's isolated from the whole world, right? He's encouraging Timothy to gain the strength that by the grace God gives us, and now take that strength and use it, right? And he's going to go into in 2 Timothy chapter, back in chapter 1, verse 14, he talks about it like a deposit that we're to guard. So in verse 1:14, he says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Okay, so Paul's been teaching Timothy. He's entrusted him with this pure message. And now he's telling him what to do with that. So Paul's been a great mentor. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:1 and several other places, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, right? So Timothy's had this mentor to kind of look at and ask questions to and to watch how they go and navigate life. And so he's seen it, and now he's going to tell them what to do. I think there's principles, even though this is a personal letter, right, written from Paul to Timothy, I think there's principles that apply to all of us, you know, young, old, male, female. I don't think it's just specifically to Timothy. So last week, I think it was Jared who talked about passing the baton. Jason last week. So that concept of the baton, like being like a symbol of your faith, passing that on. Paul passing it on to Timothy. Timothy passing it on to others. It's this model of like discipleship and modeling. So batons. I remember a long time ago, back in, what is it, 1984, I think we got to go to we watched the Olympic torch come down the boulevard down by where I lived. You know, they in the beginning of the Olympics, they passed that torch, and they're counting on that next person being there to pass it on. We're not just going to suddenly wake up one day and realize, oh, hey, last night the faith got passed on, right? It's not just going to suddenly happen like that. It's something that he's calling us to do as we go. So he talks about learn the pure message and transmit it. So he preached the pure message, and he was on guard, and he encountered false messages. And that was a common theme too, to charge Timothy to look out, know the pure message, And don't be deceived by subtle differences and changes. That's why we need to know it so well. Counterfeits get snuck by, right? We have to look out for that. I remember in my dad's business, once in a while, a fake bill would get passed through, right? And you know, you might not catch it. But people who are trained, like a banker, might be thumbing through the stack of money and all of a sudden, just without even looking, just feel it and just be like, oh, that's a counterfeit. He's kind of wanting Timothy to be the same way, like recognize the false message and know it, right? Satan is the father of lies, and he's good and he's deceptive. He's subtle ways of tricking us, so it's important that we really do know the pure message, that's what we should pass on. So learning about the word, learning about the pure message, you know, in my life, it's required some studying, right? And it hasn't been like hard studying for finals, but I, you know, it's a consistent learning and studying and being in groups of people who help me understand it, reading it for myself, dialoguing about it. You know, obviously, like most of the time I'm sitting in your seat listening, right? So I've been learning from a lot of guys throughout my life on the internet. I've listened to a lot of sermons from people on the internet. Tapes. Any of you guys ever had any tapes? Anybody said tape, right? Had tapes. Caught the tail end of that little era. Also, small groups, right? My wife and I have been involved in different small groups where we have a chance to read and study together. And I think what's really unique about that is it requires you to articulate in your own words things about the Lord. Whereas instead of simply only always hearing, it kind of forces you to think about how you would say that in your own style, in your own words. And in the process of saying it in your own words, it kind of forces you to understand it more deeply as well, I think. I've read books, even, you know, commentaries on different things about the word. I've been really blessed to get to do some one-on-one discipleship with guys I really respect. I know that meeting with Rick for breakfast a bunch of times has been super meaningful to me, just to talk about life, see how things are going, and remind each other of the things we don't want to forget. That's been huge. And I know that a long time ago, that was kind of hard for me to do, to ask someone to teach me, right? It felt kind of hard for some reason. It kind of took my shoulder injury, and I think Rick had come off recently a shoulder injury, and I guess we were kind of commiserating, and that started the opportunity to go out to breakfast, and then it kind of just turned into a regular thing. But when I look back and I see the benefit from that, I wish I would have tried harder earlier on to seek out someone who would actually invest in me, someone from, you know, a stage ahead of me who would be willing to share with me. It's so profitable. I've learned a lot that way. And then lastly, studying to teach other people, young and old. Every time I have to teach a Sunday school lesson or anything, it forces me to really, really dig deep and understand it better. Even for this today, right? I had to really, really read it more than I maybe would have just for myself. So having an outlet, having an opportunity, a venue to share with will bring you strength, and it will help you understand concepts at a deeper level. Because knowing, I was thinking about knowing versus teaching, right? You know, there's like knowing something well enough to just right on the spot tell someone else authoritatively, like you know, you have to know a topic pretty well. There's a couple topics that I feel pretty comfortable, you know, talking to someone about. I've spent enough time learning, you know, like whitewater rafting. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. I could, on the spot, tell someone pretty authoritatively, I think I know a little bit. When it comes to other things like woodworking or car work, no. Like I know a little bit, but I am not the one to be teaching, right? And then when it comes to like say painting or something, no. Go see Tim Hines or someone else. I know nothing about that, right? But there's a difference in knowing something and then knowing it well enough to teach it just from your heart, improvisationally, right? So I think when you do that, it's a gift. I feel like you're giving someone a gift when you do that. I was up at Big Bear Lake, and I went to this discovery center, like the forest center. There's an information counter, and you can go ask them for information about the forest. And I'd had a bad experience the last time I was there. I met a guy who would not give me the information that I was seeking, and he made it really hard, and I don't really know why, but it was just, so I kind of went in there this time with a kind of a skeptical mindset. But the lady working the counter this time obviously loved her job. She loved the Big Bear area, and she was just so happy to share about these trailheads and parts of the lake, and it was just fun. I just kind of stood back and just watched her telling other people. I don't even know what she was talking about, but you just tell that she was like passing on this gift and showing people the treasures of this place where she lives. And so I think it's kind of a gift when you share something that you know real well with someone. It's really cool. Also, I think that, you know, when we get together, even with someone maybe at the similar stage as us or ahead or behind, it's strengthening. It strengthens us to do that. We discussed the peer message kind of back and forth and back and forth. I got to meet with Frank this week. It was some of our guys were traveling, and we just got to meet for over an hour, and just it was very encouraging just to share life experiences, what's going on, and talking about these concepts of the kingdom was really, really cool. When you get together with someone one-on-one, I think like Rick's told me before, you know, both people get watered. It's not just a one-directional thing. It's a symbiotic thing that's really good for us to do. And I don't think we get to see the full impact of what comes out of that. We, you know, sometimes I would meet before work, and we would have breakfast and talk for a while, and I would be strengthened out of that. And then I would go on, and I don't know how I would have lived differently had I not been strengthened compared to when I had been. But I think that it has impacts that we don't even see. So I think it's important that we do this regularly and stay strong, so that as we go about, we're passing that on more. So obviously in Mark 16, it talks about go into the world and proclaim the gospel, right? We want to know it real well and be strong in it in order to pass it on. So the question is, how can you invest? How can we invest? How can we pass this faith on? What are some practical ways we can do this? Well, parents, obviously, you probably have a desire for your children to learn this. So we can pray for them often and just always be kind of thinking as they go through different stages, what would be a proper way to help them learn. Another opportunity is, if you have never before, like join a ministry where sharing your faith is just part of that ministry. I know, I've been part of the children's ministry for a while, so I've had the chance to kind of watch lots of different people take this curriculum and teach it in their own style. Teach the memory verse in their own style, make up their own style of how to teach the 3 and 4 year olds, right? It's been interesting to see. I think when you join something like that, you can sit back and just sort of watch, see how other people do it, watch how they do it. Think about yourself and what's your style. How would you share it? You could take on a small role. Be like, I'm just going to do this little part of this, but it'll give you something to prepare for, and it'll give you a chance to learn the content better and to get more comfortable sharing it. I'm not the most comfortable one up here. I don't do this very often. So you just have to kind of do it. You'll grow in your ability to understand and express it in your own words. And, you know, sometimes there's stories we've heard a bunch of times. Like last week, I got to teach about the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. So you had the 2 fish and 5 pieces of bread, right? And as soon as we said 2 fish and bread, the whole class has heard the story. They're like, oh, we know this story. We got this one, right? You know, but I don't know if they fully realized, like, it wasn't just about magically making bread for people. It was about him trying to show people that he is the true source of satisfaction, right? And not just in a physical hunger, but in all realms of life. He's trying to explain, I am the bread of life. That's what he's trying to explain. And to be able to dig into those verses and understand it well enough to teach it, and then you're passing on a better understanding. You're helping people progress and understand what's the Bible, what is the message that Jesus intends for us to know. So I think that's, in one thing about that, you know, I you don't need to be a real gifted teacher to do this work. We're all called to do it. In fact, God many, many times uses an unlikely person to do a job that seems like they wouldn't be able to do. So I wouldn't disqualify yourself just because you don't think, you don't see yourself as a great teacher. If you have the right heart about it in prayer, I think that, you know, what God will do is he'll bless your efforts and he'll be the one to make the heart change in people. And it won't even, it's not to your credit, it's his credit. You just simply offered your service to the Lord in prayer and he will bless it. Yeah, so you can invest one-on-one, you know, try to find someone who you can maybe meet with regularly. Ask them things about life, how they approach difficult situations. So the last thing I'd like to point out is who to invest in. Timothy, it does kind of give a qualifier here. He says in verse 2, "In what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So he's calling for Timothy to sort of find the faithful men. So if you're kind of young in your faith at an earlier stage, I guess my advice would just be just desire to be trustworthy and faithful. You know, jump in, find a spot where you can start to serve and serve faithfully. You know, start learning the pure message and show yourself to be trustworthy. And then those of us, you know, I'm in both ends of this, right? Being mentored, mentoring, kind of in the middle. But I think it's up to the mature in the faith, to the leaders, to recognize that. Say, hey, that person's been serving faithfully. They're trustworthy. And so I'm going to start to invest in that person. You know, I think there's so many opportunities here at Firm to take advantage of. There's a ton. You could find one and kind of jump in. I wanted to point out there's four teams that have taken advantage of this: Obi, Dakota, Elijah Phillips, and Zoe Newton. These are four young adults who've, like, for about a year, they've been part of the Sunday school team. So for a year, they've met, they've prayed with us adults. They've got to see us teach these lessons. They're totally familiar with it. They've gained experience up there taking on these roles and teaching themselves. And, you know, when we're together and we're preparing for these lessons, questions come up about the word, and we're able to uncover things and discuss things. And so it's not purely for the children that we teach on Sunday. It's us too, our learning in the process and getting to transfer it to them who've volunteered to jump in and start serving. I think that's awesome, and we're celebrating, and it's super neat to see. Also, I met with one young guy who I've seen him teach before. He's totally able to do it well, and he was just inclined to not teach. He was just saying no a lot of times, and I kind of asked him the other day. I said, "What would you think about next time someone invites you to teach? They're obviously recognizing that they think you'd be a good person to teach. Why don't you say yes? Why don't you go for it and take the opportunity?" And so he thought about it and prayed, and then he came back to me a while later, and he thanked me. He's like, "Man, I did it. I took on a teaching role. I'm going to do it, and I'm so excited. It's been so rich, my preparation for this. I'm excited." You know, it was just neat. He just kind of needed that encouragement. I think we could encourage one another to teach, share your faith. So I would just encourage you guys to not sit out this next season, right? Don't just get strength for yourself, but, you know, accept God's invitation to use you and to work through you to pass this faith on. You know, ask him just over and over. Ask him, where's the opportunity? Be on the lookout for it. And then also pray for the people you know who are doing this right now, who are you know, serving here or at the schools or all around. Gabe and Becky, all our missionaries, you know, pray for these people who are, that they would have the strength themselves, that God would provide that to continue on, right? Because there'll be hardships in the time to come too. We're going to need this strength. So I think we need to tap into this strength and then find a way, find a venue that we can start to share it. So as we continue on in future weeks to come, Paul's going to give us a ton of practical advice on what this looks like and how to do it. And just I would leave you just knowing you have access today to this strength. It's not something you have to wait for. It's there. It's waiting for you. And your example, your life, your energy, it's needed and it's appreciated. So thank you guys for investing in me and my family, and I look forward to what's to come. So thanks for letting me share today, guys. It was an awesome experience getting to prepare for this, so I hope it was encouraging to you guys. Yeah.